patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy.
Love doesn't boast and isn't proud.
Love is not self-seeking.
Love.
Love is not angry.
Love.
Love keeps no records of wrongs.
Love.
Love.
Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Love always protects.
Love always protects.
Love always trusts.
Love always hopes.
Love always hopes.
L-O-B-E.
Love.
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 Love always perseveres.
Love never fails.
Okay, can you stand right on this black piece of tape?
Yeah.
And can you hold this in when I say go? You say love, okay?
Go.
Love.
Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, love you, and appreciate you. Thank you for your presence in the building. Thank you for the people who are here. We ask that you would strengthen us in every way imaginable, and we appreciate you for that. Now, God, I ask that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would think through my mind, speak through my mouth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Would you grab your Bibles in your hands? And repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Come on, put your hands together. Amen. Come on, do it again like you're at the best buffet in the entire world. Yeah. You're going to be fed this morning. I would like to say, as we confess those four C's that are part of our vision statement, a lot of times as we get to going, sometimes they trail off. But I just want you to know, just as a way to spark you and to shame you as well, my daughter Alana can say all four C's. So if she can say them, y'all ought to get to the place where you can know them. So you can just, should be at the place where you can rattle them off. If somebody asks you, what do those things mean? You ought to be able to say what they mean. All right, so we're going to, we started a series last week. I didn't know it was going to be a series, but after I preached that first message, I was like, yeah, we got to stay in this a little while. And so this was one of our anchor verses. It was on a picture, and they're going to put that up for me. That picture was this, that now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14, the A clause of the verse. And so from that, we talked last week on this topic, the winner's mentality. Somebody say the winner's mentality. And so I had some anchor scriptures that we use, and we're going to be using these going forward. And the first one was 1 Corinthians 9:23. And first of all, we talked about all that Paul had done as a matter of sacrificing for the winning of souls. And then he makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 9:23, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And so what we want you to understand, that there is a life of blessing that is available and is affordable to the believer. Salvation comes in automatic the moment you believe, but that doesn't mean that you can walk in the blessings of God. You have to press into the blessings of God, and those with the winning mentality, they are the ones who end up securing the blessings. And this is the approach you have to have, and this is the next verse. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. So you need to position yourself as if you're running to get a prize. This is a sprint. You need to run like you're sprinting. You don't want to run like you're in a walking marathon. This is not a walking marathon. This is a run. So position yourself like you're running for something. One old song said, Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100. 99 and a half won't do. Now, 99 and a half is real close to 100, but they're saying that's not good enough. I want to run all the way until I get what I'm supposed to get. I want to run all the way. It was another old song that said, if you ask me what's the matter with me, I'll tell you I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. I got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. Oh man, y'all gonna make me go back old school, running for my life. So run. This is not a saunter. This is not a stroll in the park. This is not a jog. Run for your life. All right. So, and having said that, this is how we closed last week, and it was our seventh point that we put up. We trust that God will make us win in the end, and this is why we run like we are winners, because we believe in the end we're going to win. Now, having said that, that is the recap of last week. This week is what we're going to talk about, and this is this. It's called winning the weight. Somebody say that with me. Say winning the weight. This is a phrase that I had never really heard before. I've heard things talked about patience, but this phrase, winning the weight, was something that was actually coined by the LA Clippers. So I want you to put that up, that picture. The LA Clippers filed trademarks for win the weight. So you can leave that up there on the screen for just a little while, and I'll explain it. So last year, the Clippers were one of the front runners for winning the championship. They had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Doc Rivers as the coach, and it was almost assumed that they were going to win it all, and they were doing very well. The other team that was very close was also in Los Angeles, which is known as the better team in LA, which is the Los Angeles Lakers, who eventually end up winning the championship. Amen. Amen. They eventually end up winning the championship. But their greatest competitors were the LA Clippers. But the coach, Doc Rivers, as soon as COVID hit, he came up with this phrase, win the weight. Because COVID put a pause on everything. COVID stopped everything as it related to where they were. And the funny thing about the LA Clippers was this, is that they had finally, they were injured, and they had finally got their team back to 100%. And they had won their last five games. They were on a five-game winning streak, and then the whole season got canceled. And what Doc Rivers wanted to teach the team, just because we are on pause doesn't mean we can forget to win. We got to learn how to win the weight. To make a long story short, they really didn't take their coach at his word. Their coach is now fired. He is no longer the coach of the LA Clippers, and now he coaches the Philadelphia 76ers. And as they went through the playoffs, as the playoffs restarted, and as the NBA season restarted, the Clippers did good for a while. And then they had a 3-1 lead on Denver. And if you don't know anything about sports, let me explain that. It's the best out of four series. So they had won three games. Denver had only won one game. So that meant LA only needed to win one game to win the series. But Denver came back and beat them every single game, and they were stuck on those three wins because they didn't win the weight. Let me give you just one other example, and I can't quite explain it. You'll have to look it up for yourself because it's not really appropriate to talk in church. But there was a young man who played for the Clippers who had to do some business. And before he went back to what they call the NBA bubble, he stopped off somewhere he shouldn't have been. And they found out, and they're like, you can't come back to the team because you might be exposed to COVID. He was in a place that he shouldn't have been because he got restless in the weight. Now, let me come off of the Clippers, and let me talk about us's. Let me talk about you and I. From the moment we decree it and declare it, and the moment we see it, there is a weight. There is a journey. There is a process. Normally, in the Bible, there are some immediately's. There are some straight ways. There are some right aways. There are some right now's. But let me say that's about 5% of the Bible. 95% is the moment you believe it, you don't get it. You have to wait. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise. And the Bible said he did not grow weak in his faith, but he was strong in his faith, giving glory to God. He learned how to win the wait. You got to learn how to win the pause. You got to learn how to win when you can't see the way. You got to learn how to win when the answer hasn't showed up. You got to learn how to win when God ain't moving the way you want him to move. You got to win the wait. It's vitally important that we win the wait because the scripture says with patience we do possess our souls. Because it's easy, as long as we got on the screen, I'm going to put a praise on it. It's easy to get happy. But when you walk out those doors, Tasha Cobbs ain't singing for you. There ain't no song, there's no organ, there's no drum. Many times you just got to wait. And if you learn how to win in the wait, when the wait is over, you have built something inside of you that'll make it better for you when you get to the result. Single people, you got to win the wait. Married folk, you got to win the wait. Unemployed folk, you got to win the wait. Broke folk, you got to win the wait. Sick folk, you got to win the wait. People who have prophetic insights and prophetic dreams that you don't know what they mean, you have to win the wait. Amen. Let's go to the scripture. Let's get Mother Mitchell involved. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13:5 from the English Standard Version.
And the Philistines mustered to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and troops like the sand on the seashore in multitude. They came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven.
Let's go to the next verse.
When the men of Israel saw that they were in trouble, for the people were hard pressed, the people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns.
Key I want to point out, it says the people were hard pressed. And that'll bring up my very first point. It's in times of pressure where we must commit to winning the way. Let me not be so spiritual. Let me just say it like the old folks say it. Pressure bust pipes. When you get in pressure, when you get in stress, when you get in strain, you have to commit to winning the wait. Because pressure will bring stuff up out of you that you thought was long gone. Pressure would put stuff in you that you thought was long gone. Pressure has a way of backing you up against the wall and wondering, God, are you even here? God, do you hear me? God, do you know what I'm going through? God, do you know what I feel? God, do you know the thoughts that I'm dealing with? God, where are you? Pressure. But it's in that pressure you have to commit to winning the way. Let's back up and go to the scripture again. I'll read the scripture. I like how it says. It says, for the people were hard pressed. The people hid themselves in caves and in holes and in rocks and in tombs and in cisterns. Don't tell me what you won't do until pressure comes to you. Sometimes you don't want to pick your head up out the bed. You don't want to do nothing but lay in your pajamas for all day. Not all day. And if you're not careful, all month you'll stay in the house in your pajamas. You don't want to go nowhere, talk to nobody. You don't want to do nothing. You don't want to be preached to. You don't want to hear no worship music. You just want to sulk and just drift your life away because pressure is tough. But you got to win the weight in the pressure. Let's continue to read. We're going to drop down to verse 7, 1 Samuel 13 and 7. Would you read that?
And some Hebrews crossed the fords of the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul was still at Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling.
Let's bring up this next point. And I'm speaking to all of you. If you are a leader, people are expecting you to win. But sometimes the win is in the wait. Now here's the thing. All these people were under pressure. And when people are under pressure, they look for a leader. But the problem is the leader many times is in the same pressure as the people and that much more. Now, I got to tell you something. Y'all just come to church, but you're leaders. How do I know you're leaders? Because you have people who keep attaching themselves to you and they're looking to you for some answers. You can't stick your head in the sand. Folk are depending on you. People are looking for the church to be the church. They're looking for you to rise up. Why do you keep coming to church every Sunday and you don't have nothing to tell me? I'm in a pandemic. My mama got COVID. My daddy got COVID. And I need you to do something for me. People will look to you and you got to rise up and be a leader. And as a leader, you got to learn how to win the weight. What that means is when people attach themselves to you, and they want you to lead them. Don't just go running and doing stuff. You go to God. Because I can't lead you until I talk to him. So one thing I will not allow y'all to do, as much as I love y'all, y'all not going to push me faster than I'm ready to go. Because if I don't know the answer, I'm going to pray. And if I don't have the answer, this is what I need all of us to do. Wait. Pastor, when we gonna? I don't know. Well, you the pastor, you should know. I don't know. Right now, I'm the pastor. I don't know. So guess what we gonna do? We gonna wait. We're going to wait until we get instructions from the Lord. I can't do everything everybody else is doing. I'm not the church down the street. I'm not Bishop T.D. Jakes. I'm Pastor Andre Mitchell, and we're going to wait. Sometimes parents, you got to tell your kids, we're going to wait. I know you just got your stimulus money, and the first thing you want to do is run to Toys R Us. Well, Toys R Us is gone, so wait. Wait. And when we talk about waiting, we're not talking about twiddling your thumbs. We're talking about praying, waiting on instructions from the Lord. Waiting on what God has last told you. I can't do everything because I need this money to stretch. I need this money to last. I need to come out of the pandemic better than what I went in. So I need to wait. I gotta hear from the Lord. I gotta talk to the Lord. I need some instructions. I need some wisdom. Waiting brings wisdom. And many times the reason why we get in trouble is because we don't have wisdom. We got a lot of saved, talking in tongue folks who don't have wisdom. And if you don't have the wisdom of God, you need to wait. Now I know he looked good. He looked real good. And he'd propose to you in the first 2 weeks of y'all dating. But baby, wait. Wait. You ain't seen a mad yet. You ain't seen the red flags yet. Wait. I know you want a man. And you want to do stuff with that married folk do. But you've been waiting all this time. You can keep on waiting so you get it right. And young man, before you run and buy the ring, wait. Figure out what God wants you to do. Young man, let me tell you something. You don't even have a job. You don't have a car. You don't have a house. And you want a wife. You need to wait and get some of that other stuff together first. Stop bringing people into your bad situation. So as leaders, we have to wait, gather wisdom, and then we move forward. One thing that's interesting, the reason why we don't have as many accidents as we could is because there was the advent and the inventing of traffic lights. And what traffic lights do, they pause one flow of traffic so another flow of traffic can go. In other words, it makes you wait. Now, when I'm going to work, I get mad when I don't get all green lights. I want all the green lights so I can hit everything because I don't want to wait. But sometimes slowing me down makes sure that other people are safe. And if God allows you to run every time you want to run, you're going to run somebody off the road. You're going to wreck some stuff. You need some yellow lights. And you need some red lights. You don't need to wait. Sometimes you just need to stop. Be still and know that I am God. In this thing, we only want green lights, but that's not life. You need some yellow lights and you need some red lights. You need to be still sometimes so God can do some of the things he needs to do. Now I know that we love the Lord, but we act like we're the only people on the earth. But God is controlling this entire universe. And sometimes in order to give you what you want, he's got to take something from somebody else. Sometimes we don't think about that. Well, Father God, just let some money fall into my bank account. But guess what? The person who made the mistake, they're going to lose their job if the money just gets in your bank account. So before God does that, he's making sure everything's lined up. So give God time to work and wait. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next verse. 1 Samuel 13, 8. Now, this is Saul the leader, and let's see what it says he does.
He waited 7 days. The time appointed by Samuel.
I want us to stop right there just for a second. He waited 7 days, the time appointed. He waited the appointed time. So here's something you need to understand. Wait the appointed time. Saul waited the appointed time. But let's go back to the verse and let's read it in its entirety.
He waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him.
What happens when you wait? When you're supposed to wait and you still don't get the right result. Let's look at the next point. Sometimes the wait doesn't work right away. So I'm preaching waiting and you are patient. You're doing just what I told you to do and you still don't get the result. I told you if you really want to be delivered, you would go through the 12-month program and you would pray. Well, I prayed. I'm at the 12-month program, and all I want to do is smoke a joint. So I look, Pastor, I done it the way you said to do it, but now guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Let's read some more. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13, 9.
So Saul said, bring the burnt offering here to me. And the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering.
Verse 8. We're gonna go back up a verse that we just read, but we're going to read it in the Voice Bible. I have never heard of the Voice Bible, but I found it just this morning, and I inserted it into the message. I'm going to read it the way the Voice Bible says it. 1 Samuel 13, 8. The Voice, it says, Saul waited for Samuel for 7 days, the amount of time he had been told by Samuel to wait. But the prophet did not come to Gilgal, and the people begin to slip away. A few more days and Saul would have no army left. So he decided to take matters into his own hands. He waited, but then the pressure didn't lift. It got worse. So he decided to take matters into his own hands. I've been waiting on a man, and I'm a virgin. I've been a virgin since 16, but now I'm 48. Bump you and your virginship. I'm taking matters into my own hands. because everybody else is doing stuff. But you're not everybody else. You got to understand that this is not the time. You've waited this long. Why quit now? You've done it this long, but I know you say, but Pastor, it hasn't worked for me. But here's the thing. You are only looking at what you can see with your natural eye. And the Bible says all things work together for the good. So you can't tell me it's not working for you just based on what you can see with your natural eyes, because your natural eyes are temporal. But many times God is doing stuff behind the scenes that you can't see, and you about to mess it up by taking matters into your own hands. I wonder how it is for God to drive the ship all the way almost to shore, and then you get agitated and you take the ship and wreck it. Y'all done gone 5,000 miles, and Jesus is the pilot. He's not my co-pilot. He's been the pilot for all 5,000 miles. But for the 5,001st mile, you decide to grab the wheel and wreck everything. A lot of us don't know how close we were to blessing, but we took matters into our own hands. I mean, God had everything aligned. He had every domino ready to fall. All he was going to do was touch that one domino and make the whole thing fall into place. Everything was about to fall into place, but you couldn't wait. But I've been waiting, Pastor. I understand. But God gave me this message to let you know you got to keep winning the wait. I don't know how long you got to wait, but I need you to understand you cannot back up now because you're about to mess something up. Let's put up the point. I think it'll be good for us to understand. Taking matters into our own hands is a guaranteed way to turn what could have been a win into a loss. Oh, man, you don't know how close you were to winning. I've heard of people who got discouraged in the last semester of college and quit and walk away. I mean, you done went through all this. You done paid all that money. You know when you quit college, you still got to pay for them student loans. So you start stuff and then you quit stuff, and all you are doing is building up extra trouble. You might as well see some stuff to the end. Why won't you stay long enough to see stuff to the end? You're too close to give up now. Taking matters into our own hands is a guaranteed way to turn what could have been a win into a loss. Sometimes it's with your kids. You've been waiting on your kids to get saved. You've been praying, and finally you get fed up, and you just got to give them your 2 cents. And your 2 cents pushed them 2 years down the road from getting saved. God been working on them. God been dealing with them. God had been drawing them, wooing them. And here you come with your mouth because you done got frustrated. Shut up and let God finish what he started. The Bible says that he who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. He said, being confident of this very thing. If God started the work, he can finish the work, but he don't need you getting in the middle messing up. You got to win the wait. Let's go to verse 10.
As soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and greet him.
Here's the thing. He was waiting on Samuel because Samuel was the one assigned to do the burnt offering. Samuel was the prophetic voice. It was the reason why Saul was even in the position he was in, is because Samuel was the one anointed him. And as soon as Saul took matters into his own hand, Samuel showed up. That means he was just seconds away of getting it right, but just a few more seconds. All he had to wait, he messed it up just a few more seconds. Some of y'all are just moments from your breakthrough, and you've been tempted to mess it all up. I've been talking to people, and I think me and Sister Teresa talked about it just recently, and someone else, I talked to him about it just yesterday, who's working in the school system. A lot of our young people have been really bombarded with suicidal thoughts. Suicide is something that's on the rampage, but it's going all the way down to middle school. The person I talk about works in the middle school, and people are ready to just take their life. But there are some people who take their life, and everybody knew they were so close to success. I mean, everybody looked at them. You are a success. All they needed was a few more steps. They were moments away from breakthrough, but got tricked to taking their whole life and ending it all. Because many times with the devil, he shows you what you can't see. He shows you everything that you can't see. He makes you feel like, oh, my life is over. No, baby, you are so, so, so close. You're so close that a wind could blow you over into blessings, but you get discouraged at the last moment. Get discouraged at the last second. You've been waiting. You've been believing. You've been praying. You are so, 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 so close. But you get discouraged at the last moment. There's a young lady who's been thinking about you forever. And she finally got the courage to tell you, can you take me out? Because she thinks you are her husband, but she don't want to be wrong, so she's been praying, and she thinks this is my chance, and so she's going to say something, because the Bible says he that finds a wife finds a good thing, so she didn't want to say nothing, she didn't want to rush, but she finally feels like, you know what, I think I'm supposed to just tell this man, at least show him that I'm interested, and then you kill yourself. And everything was lining up for you to have the family and the life that you wanted, but you just mess it up. Me and Lady Devon were watching some documentary about a young couple who had two kids, and the wife was pregnant with a twin. So they was getting ready to have four kids. And so they had started a business, and they were doing good in the business. And then they had an investor who had supposed to invest in the business. But then in the last minute, he backs out of the business. And so they got discouraged and they got desperate. And they decided they was going to rob a credit union. And they didn't even get to do what they wanted to do. And the man ended up getting 60 years. And so the story is about all her fight to get him back into society so that he can help raise the kids. And he ended up getting let go after 20 something years of them trying, but they were so close. But one bad decision can derail your life. Now God can turn things around and fix up, but we go through unnecessary stuff because when we get into some pressure, we can't win the wait. All right, let's move on. Sometimes the problem is not that we don't wait. It's that we don't wait long enough. It's not that we don't wait. We just don't wait long enough. You're close, but you don't wait long enough. It's you don't stay in the long haul. You don't follow through. You don't see it all the way to the end. And that's what happened with the Clippers. They were doing good, but once the pandemic hit and COVID hit and they said everybody's going to have to go to the bubble to play basketball, they lost everything and they could not press all the way through. They were close, but they didn't wait long enough. In other words, they didn't win the wait. Somebody say, Lord, help me win the wait. All right, and let's put this up. And this is a verse that's not in the Samuel, but I'm going to throw it in because it's very powerful. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here's the thing. None of us can control due season. Due season is something that is set by God. The Bible calls it the set time of favor. There is something that was set before the foundation of the world for you to walk in, and you can't control it. So he says, don't be weary in your well-doing. For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. And when you study that in the Greek, it means faint not, lose heart, cave in, quit. If you don't lose heart, if you don't lose your marbles, remember the old saying, lose your marbles. If you don't lose your marbles, if you don't lose your mind, if you don't give up in the middle of it, if you don't quit, if you don't throw in the towel. I know you got the towel in your hand, but don't throw in the towel. You're closer than you ever thought you were. You're closer than you ever, ever, ever thought you were. You got to press on. I tell this story all the time that reminds me of me. I remember being working at the glass factory on Batavia, and I was working as a temp, and they finally decided that my job was coming to an end. I had been there for like 3 years. And so then I got placed in Maxon Corporation. And Maxon, they said they normally always hire their temporaries. And so I was there for 3 weeks. But on the third week, on Wednesday, they told me you will be done Friday. Not done in 2 weeks. You know, these places want you to give them a 2 week notice, but they ain't got to give you a 2 week notice. They not. Your job ends on Friday. And here's the thing. I thought that my one job ended so that I could go to Maxon and I can get that job. And at the time, the highest pay there was $18 an hour back in 1997. I'm like, God, this is my blessing. This is the place I'm supposed to be. And after the third week, the middle of the third week, they say, your job is done Friday. We don't need you. Man. And I got depressed. I got real depressed, real quick. But by Thursday, I made up in my mind, God got me this job, so I'm going to praise God. Now, when I talk about praise God, I wasn't shouting, I wasn't dancing. I was laying across my bed with tears in my eyes, and I said, God, I still praise you. Hallelujah. See, something else happened. There was an offer for us to put in for Warner Gear. Me and a very good friend of mine, we both put in for Warner Gear. The friend of mine got it, and I didn't get it. And I made up my mind, I'm going to praise God for him, even though I wanted the job. It was only two of us, but it was only one position left. And when he got it and I didn't get it, I praised God for him. But then when I laid on my bed and was crying, I reminded God, well, I could have been mad about so-and-so, but I praise you anyhow, and I'm going to praise you now, God. I don't understand what's going on, but I praise you now. Now, what I could have done, I could have went and smoked some weed. I could have done a whole bunch of stuff. To make a long story short, that was Thursday after I praised God. Friday, I went to work, and I had the best day ever. I was just praising God. I was speaking in tongues. I was speaking in tongues so bad that a man came to me. He said, what are you saying? I didn't know that my mouth, I was doing it in my head, but my mouth was moving. He said, I came over here to tell you. He said, but what he came over to tell me, he said, your mother has called the job. Now, first of all, I was praising God, but I got a little worried because my mama don't never call my job. And number one, my mother's as sweet as she is, she like money, so she ain't going to mess up nobody's money. So she wasn't calling my job. So something is wrong. So I go on my lunch break and I call her back. And she says, General Motors has called and they want you to take your drug test tomorrow. This was Friday. I took my drug test on Saturday and I've been working there 23 years. Now what would have happened if I would have smoked weed on Thursday because I was depressed? But God had a blessing lined up that would take me the rest of my life, but I had to win the wait. Sometimes we throw our blessings away because every blessing don't look like a blessing. Every blessing is not like Christmas morning. It doesn't come wrapped in a bow. It doesn't come under a tree. Some blessings look like a loss, but a loss is just a lesson that'll get you to a blessing if you can win the way. If you can praise God when you can't see the way. If you can praise God when it looks bad. If you can praise God anyhow, you can win the way. That's my testimony. So when I look back over from the glass factory to Maxon to General Motors, I never had a day where I didn't have a place to go. I went from one job to the next job and to my final job, the job that has carried me for 23 years. And that I've had the job closed down. I've been in three different plants, but I never worry about it because I remember how I got there. I got there not knowing. Now, the funny thing is, I had put in my application so long ago, I forgot I had an application at General Motors. So when they said I was taking a drug test, I said, take a drug test for who? For when? It was 2 years ago that I put in the application, but God was working behind the scenes. Glory to God. Let me tell you another quick story. The great W.J. Jackson, I remember him telling this story. He bought a new Cadillac. And in the new Cadillac, it was back in the time where they still had cassette tapes. And so he had his cassette tape, and when he would press fast forward, the radio would come on. And so he got ready to take the car back to the dealer because he said, every time I push fast forward, the radio comes on. But just so happened that he noticed that once he pushed play again, that the tape had jumped to where it was supposed to be. So when he pressed fast forward, what the car company had done, they had put something in front of there or by turning the radio on so you wouldn't know and hear that behind the scenes the tape was actually fast forwarding. It just didn't look like it was fast forwarding. It didn't sound like it was fast forwarding because the radio came on. So what he learned is that behind the scenes, what he wanted to work was always working behind the scenes. It just didn't look like it. It don't look like God cares about you. It don't look like he's working on your behalf. It looked like he forgot about you. But behind the scenes, he's working. Angels are working on your behalf. They know your name. They know your address. Blessings are assigned to you. You got to hold on till the end. I don't care what I'm going to do in this season, but I'm going to win the weight. I don't care what the pandemic does. I don't care what the government does. I'm going to win the weight. I've come too far from where I started from. I don't feel no ways tired. I've been in this too long to lay down now. So don't be weary in wielding, for you will reap if you faint not. Let's put up the point that goes behind that. You can't have a winner's mentality and a quitter's mentality at the same time. You can't be a winner and a quitter at the same time. One of the greatest things my dad ever done for me is that he taught us and told us, he said, Mitchells, don't quit. He instilled that in us. Listen, if you sign up to be on the trumpet playing band, I don't care how bad you are, you ain't quitting because you said you was going to do it, and Mitchells don't quit. And it built something in me that I can't quit. I can't just sign up for something and turn around and quit when things get tough. It's the weak and the wishy-washy that quit every time something gets tough. If you said you was going to do it, stay through the fire. Stay through the flood. Stop having a quitting mindset. Right now in this day and age, you have people who can't find folk to work. They'll quit in 2 days. I'll never forget when I was working with the temporary service. I remember a person coming, and I was training him. And at lunchtime, after lunchtime, I went to find him so we can go back through the training, and he was gone. And he was gone forever. I never seen him the rest of my life. He walked off. It was too hard. But while I was training him, he was telling me how much he needs this job and how grateful he was for this job because he had a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And then the next thing you know, at lunchtime, he's gone. You got to be able to stand a little bit of the fire. Stop being so weak. If God is on your side, you ought to be able to put up with something. But you're weak, wishy-washy self. We had a worship series, but I need to have a wishy-washy series for all the wishy-washy folk that can't put up with nothing. I stopped going to church because Mother Rankin didn't smile at me. Mother Rankin's teeth was hurting. She ain't got time to smile at everybody. You don't come to church for her. You come to church for God. How about you be like Bishop Clark said, God has smiled on me. He has set me free. You ain't got to smile at me. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Let's go to verse 11 and verse 12.
Samuel said, what have I done? And Saul said.
Read that again. Start it over for me.
Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, When I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines had mustered at Michmash.
Verse 12.
I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering.
I forced myself. Let's bring up this next point. When you refuse to wait, you'll start forcing things and calling it God. There's a lot of people that force stuff and tell you, I'm believing God. This is what God said. God didn't say that. You're forcing stuff. And you can always tell when people are forcing stuff because they don't have the anointing for what they're forcing. They're just doing stuff. So the job got hard. They laid you off. And now all of a sudden, you're going to be a business owner. No, go find another job. You ain't never had a business thought in your mind. No. Go. Everybody's not an entrepreneur. Stop acting. Some people just need a job.
Amen.
How is everybody going to be an entrepreneur? You need some employees somewhere, but you start forcing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, God told me to make a ham and cheese truck, and I'm going to take it all over downtown. Can you cook? Well, no, but God told me. No, God didn't tell you. You're forcing this. You're forcing things because you have to make up for a reason why you didn't wait. So you start forcing stuff. And we got to stop forcing stuff. Now, many times what we're trying to do spiritually, we're trying to force a square peg into a round hole. And calling it God. God told me, no, God didn't tell you to do that. Some of this stuff you're doing on your own because you wouldn't win or you couldn't win the wait. So sometimes you just got to throw away all that stuff. Now, we've all done it, but sometimes we just got to apologize. And sometimes you just got to tell folk the truth. Listen, that wasn't God, that was me. I'm sorry. I know I said this and said that, but that wasn't me. I got nervous and I started forcing stuff. But in this next season, I'm waiting on God. I'm not moving until God moves. All right, let's go to verse 13.
And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever.
Wow. Let's go back to that verse again. We know the story of Saul. Saul's kingdom was ripped from him, and David had a kingdom that lasted forever. And it always seemed like the reason why is because David was a better man than Saul. But read what the verse says.
Read the whole thing?
Yeah, just read the whole thing again.
And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever.
So if you would have waited, we would have been talking about you the way we've talked about David. But you wouldn't wait. You were this close. He said, I would have established your kingdom forever. But you just wouldn't wait. And then we see after this thing, Saul lost his absolute mind. From this point on, he doesn't do anything right. He was anointed by God, but because he couldn't win the wait, when we talk about Saul, we always talk about him in the negative light because he went downhill from there. Let's go to the point that I have with that. When you refuse to wait long enough, you undo in your life what God is trying to establish. God is setting up some. God doesn't think momentary because God is a God of eternity. So God always thinks big picture. He always thinks long term. But many times we are undoing the puzzle pieces that he's putting together based off of the big picture, based off of the long term. God speaks the end from the beginning. He told the Israelites, he said, these Egyptians you shall see them for the last time. And that was a long time before they ever got let free. But God sees the big picture and he plans things out and puts puzzle pieces together based on the big picture. And many times all we do is undo stuff because we can't wait. Let us not be that way. Let's go to 1 Samuel 13, 14.
But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.
He said, I found somebody after my own heart. When we hear about David, a man after God's own heart, it was in this statement when God said it. He said, I found somebody who will wait on me. Because David was anointed king and had a shepherd's position. He was anointed the king and had to go back with the sheep. But guess what? He was the best sheep herder ever. He was the best shepherd. I don't care when I'm going to be promoted. I'm going to be faithful where I am. I may not have the position. I may not be promoted yet. But I'll be the best usher. I'll be the best deacon. I'll be the best greeter. I'll be the best pew member. I'll be whatever I can until I get promoted. And God says that's the kind of heart that I need. I need somebody that won't rush me, that'll let me do things in my time when I'm ready. Since I'm the God of the universe, I need somebody who will trust me with the timing of the Lord. And when you do that, God says, you a man or a woman after my own heart. A woman that can praise me when things are topsy-turvy. A woman that can love me when I ain't done what they want me to do. A man that can still love me when everything's not working right. I need somebody that will wait on the Lord. Let's put this point up. I believe that was verse 14. This point up. People with the heart of God are willing to wait on the promises of God. The promises of God, they are yes and amen. But they're not always automatic. They're not always immediate. They're yes and they're amen. In other words, you're going to get them. You're going to have them. They're going to show up in your life, but it may take some time. But those who are willing to wait on God and his promises, those are the ones who have the heart of God. Let's put this next point up, and then we're going to use this as a confession, because we're done with that Samuel story, and I'm going to read another few verses, and then we're going to go into our communion. So let's use this as a confession. It's not over till I win. Say that. It's not over.
Till I win.
And I'm willing to wait.
And I'm willing to wait.
To win.
To win.
I'm going to win.
I'm going to win.
The wait.
The wait.
It's not over.
It's not over.
Till I win.
Till I win.
And I'm willing to wait.
And I'm willing to wait.
To win.
To win.
I'm going to win.
I'm going to win.
The wait.
The wait.
One more time. It's not over.
Till I win.
And I'm willing to wait.
I'm willing to wait.
To win.
To win.
I'm going to win the wait.
I'm going to win the wait.
Let's do it one more time. But this time I want you to put yourself, your name, where it is. I'm going to say Andre. You say your name. It's not over till Andre wins. And Andre's willing to wait.
To win.
Andre's going to win the wait. All right, that's beautiful. Put your hands together. Lady Devin's handing out the communion, and I'm gonna read these next verses, and then we're gonna put them up. Mother Mitchell, we don't need you to read anymore. I'm gonna finish out these next four verses, and then we'll transition into our communion. Isaiah 40:29 says it this way: He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let me read that verse again. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I need to read it one more time. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the final verse, Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say on the Lord, wait on the Lord, deliverance temple. He gonna do just what he said. Wait on the Lord, Mother Mitchell. He gonna do just what he said. Wait on the Lord, Sister Darlene. He gonna do just what he said. Wait on the Lord, Brother Tommy. He gonna do just what he said. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's never lost a battle. He never lost a case. He's the great physician. He's the architect of the universe. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the sick room. He's all that I need. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's El Shaddai. He's Elohim. He's the beginning and the end. He's the lily in the valley. He's the bright and the morning star. He is what I need. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's Prince of Peace. He's the Shepherd of the Sheep. He's the great I Am. And I'm going to wait on the Lord. Final point is this. One of the best things we can do while waiting is to remember. This will help you when you wait. I won't go into the story, but whenever I hear this about remembering, I think about the story my father talks about getting ready to go out of town. Car shuts off in the hospital park where he wasn't supposed to be parked. A little perturbed with God, upset with God. And God told him to think about what I already done. While you're waiting and you can't see your way, all you got to do is be like Dottie Peoples and think about the fact you got a testimony. God didn't bring me this far without doing some stuff for me. I got a testimony. If you look back over your life and remember, you know God, you have a testimony. But what we're going to do, we're going to remember the price that was paid for us in communion. I'm going to ask that they bring me one communion cup. Thank you, Bishop. I'll go ahead and read and take us through our communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord, this is Paul talking, what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. Wait a second. The night he was betrayed, he took bread. Next verse. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and take the bread and eat. The body is for the healing of our bodies. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's drink. Final verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or you remember the Lord's death until he comes. While you are waiting, you ain't got to wait twiddling your thumbs. You can remember the Lord and the fact that one day he died for you and purchased your salvation. Come on. Let's pray. You can remain seated. We'll go right into our prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you and honor you. God, we have a winner's mentality, but we also know we're going to have to win the wait as well. There's some things we've been waiting on for a long time, but there's some stuff you've been doing. You've been in the doing business. And some of us are so close, we can just breathe our next blessing. So don't let us quit. Don't let us lose heart, but let us commune with you. Remember what you've done. Because no matter what we've done, like the scripture said, we have not suffered unto death like you did. Nobody's put holes in our hands, holes in our feet. Nobody's beat our backs and put crowns of thorns on our head or pierced our side or stuck us in a tomb. But God, you went through all that for us. So we remember it while we wait, knowing you're going to bring us out. Now, Father God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that does not know you in the pardon of their sins, I pray one of the reasons why we're able to wait is so that we can disciple somebody else and bring them into the kingdom of God. Well, they'll say, what must I do to be saved? I pray that they would just say these words, Father God, come into my heart, come into my life. I repent of my sins. Save me to the utmost. And I will wait on you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can stand to your feet. Come on and shout the victory. Amen. You are dismissed. We love you.